Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wonder of your love. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. We thank you for the depth and the height and the breadth and the length of your love. And Lord, we pray that by your power this morning, we might grasp something more of the greatness of your love for us, that we might be filled to all the fullness of God. So Lord, we come with hearts open to receive from you again. Lord, we've already said, but we said again, from your fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. And we're here again, and we need your grace, and we desire more of your grace, and you give us more grace. So, Lord, minister to us this morning, we pray. Lord, thank you for Paul. Thank you for the blessing it's been to have him minister your word to us. Pray that he would be deeply encouraged. And even now, as he gives of himself, Lord, would you speak through him to our hearts that are open. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Darkness covered the earth as sin was dealt with. No one saw, but I saw and was satisfied with what I saw. Sin was dealt with. Sin was put to death. Freedom has come. And none saw it except myself. And what I saw, I was satisfied with. Therefore rejoice in all that has come as a result of that dark moment. Rise up, Church of the Living God, into the heights of glory, where he that suffered in the darkness has been lifted to. He is lifted high, lifted up, exalted. All heaven rejoices over the one who triumphed in the darkness.
Glory.
That you should walk in eternal light. He tasted the darkness that you should walk in perfect freedom.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be focused on the Lord again. Thank you, Gordon, bringing that. And focused on him, that we might have know that freedom that we're talking about. I'm going to start this morning by telling a story. It's about a professor of biology, and he was an atheist. And every year he began his lectures on evolution by asking if any of the students were religious. When they identified themselves, he boasted that by the end of the course, they'd all know evolution was the truth and would have become atheists. Over the years, many a student lost their faith during the course. One day, our atheist professor was walking through the forest, marveling at the wonderful world evolution had given us. His wondering was interrupted by a loud growl. He turned to see a large, hungry, and cranky grizzly bear charging towards him. The professor began to run, but it was no use. The bear was too fast. The professor tripped, and next thing he knew, the grizzly was standing above him, one foot on his chest, his paw ready to strike. With terror in his eyes, The atheist professor realized he was about to experience survival of the fittest firsthand. At that point, he cried out, "God, help me." Time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. A bright light shone down upon the atheist, and a voice boomed from the heavens. "You deny my existence for all these years, teach others I don't exist, and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist professor looked up into the light. "It would be hypocritical," he said, "of me to suddenly ask you to treat me as a Christian now, but perhaps could you make the bear a Christian?" "Very well," the voice said. The light went out and the sounds of the forest resumed. And then the bear dropped his right paw, brought both paws together, bowed its head and spoke, "Lord, for this food which I am about to receive, I am truly thankful." I hope that's not irrelevant. But I thought it was a good story, because I think where I want to go this morning is really, we've been going through 1 John and we're looking at, and a lot of the stuff's been quite, I'd say, internal. You know, it's about having the love of God, about our communion with God, about family. But what I think that in chapter 5, John starts to make us look outward. And so we read this in chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, this: "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Faith. Our professor didn't have faith until it was too late. And I guess that's what the Lord wants to bring us to. Well, we have that faith, not when it's too late, when maybe we've missed opportunities, but when we can really trust. And our trust is in Jesus Christ. That's where our faith is, in him. And but it's crucial. Bible says it says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we can have all the good ideas in the world, have all our good intentions in the world, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's saying faith is a necessity, not an option, but faith. But faith, to mean anything, it must mean action. It must mean we outwork it. It's not just something we get in our heads, but something that must outwork itself. If we really trust Jesus Christ, it must be outworked in our lives. And faith is not just believing intellectually about something. It's when it comes down, the bear's about to eat you. What do you believe? And faith really means, we have this idea to say that it's a mental ascent, whereas really faith is saying, I put my whole trust, my whole being, my whole future is in this thing I believe in. And we've got to know that this morning. Have we put our whole trust in the Lord, or is it just a mental ascent? Because faith, this is what's so important. This is the faith that overcomes the world, he says. The faith that puts your whole trust in Jesus and not just a mental agreeing to it. So when he says it will overcome the world, what does he mean by the world? You know, the world can mean 4 different things in the Bible. It can mean the globe, you know, you see in the picture of the world at the moment from the astronauts, if you're following that at all. And you see the picture of the world is just this globe we're on, the terra firma, the ground, the world. Then also the world means all the people in the world. And, you know, we say, oh, you know, there's 6-7 billion people or whatever there is in the world. That's the world. Also, it can mean the government systems of the world, that governs our life. You know, a lot of them are ungodly. It always amazes me that our government never turns to God. Particularly, I thought of the pandemic, but any time really, no one ever says, pray, seek God. It certainly worked during the Second World War. The country was turned to God. And we should trust, but they don't. They don't rely on their own abilities and make big messes of things, as we're seeing at the moment. And then, of course, there is the world of the demonic powers that are behind the governments that are controlling things and working. So you've got all these things that we could... And really, I think, John, when we're saying our faith overcomes the world, we're saying overcomes those systems and things. We don't have to live under the fear of them and the fear of powers that govern other things. We're to live under that authority of Jesus and live in faith that he is over all. He's greater than all those things. You know, if we live under the power of the world, it causes us to worry. There's so many people worried at the moment with what's going on in the world. We're not to be. We're the people that say we're men who have faith in Christ. I was talking to a lady a few weeks ago, and she was saying that she was worried as she got older. She's a single lady in probably her late 40s. And she was saying, who's going to look after me when I get older? And you see, that's what the world would say. You know, you've got to know who's going to look after you. Whereas what we should be doing is putting our trust in Jesus. Jesus will look after her one way or another. He will, through whatever she's going to go through in the future. She doesn't know what the future is going to hold, as none of us do. But the truth is, we're to have that faith. We're not to go along with the world and what the world's saying. We should worry about. We're to say our faith is in Jesus. And he will care. He will look after me. And, you know, one of the things that I realized a little while ago, very clearly, is that we're to have faith in a person, not in an outcome. You know, when people say, oh, have you got faith? But, you know, I'm not well. I've got faith to be healed. Well, the question is, have we got faith in Jesus as the healer? Is our faith is to be in a person. That's what John's saying, telling us. This is he that overcomes the world, he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, he that puts their trust in Jesus, in a person, not that, oh, well, I hope it'll all work out. Well, it doesn't matter how it's going to work out. The important thing is that he's got it. He's got the situation. And that's what we're to believe this morning. So you will overcome the world as you give yourself to Jesus. And give yourself over to him and receive his love. You know, being half in and half out gets you nowhere. So I find, let's, you know, just hold of Jesus and those rebuked to that Laodicean church. You're lukewarm. And really, that doesn't overcome the world. Lukewarm faith does not overcome the world. What overcomes the world is that where we're wholehearted, we're right in there, we're trusting with all our hearts. You know, if Jesus doesn't show up for me, then I'm a goner almost. That sort of faith is what really overcomes the world and all those other things. It says faith that works by love. So yes, we have faith. I realise that our faith comes out of that love we have for him. And really, you know, you say, oh, you know, how can I trust him? Well, if you love him, you'll trust him. So really, just give yourself to him. Realise and discover how much he loves you. Just receive his love. And you will then be able to trust him, to be able to see you through on things. That's certainly the way that I feel I've lived throughout my life, is that I've just given myself. John also says in chapter 3, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I suppose the first outworking, have to say this, of faith is prayer. That's the first outworking of it. If we're really trusting him, we pray. Even our atheist professor prayed when he was in that extremity. We receive what we ask for as children. And yet we can all say, probably, I know I've not always had my prayers answered. And maybe that's true of you. But often it's taken a long time to see those prayers answered. You know, the truth is, children don't worry. They don't worry. They just keep asking. They don't stop just because they get a no. If that's something they want, they will keep asking, keep going. And you realize that that's the faith that God's looking for, that faith, that childlike faith that says, I will just keep asking. Although it hasn't happened yet, keep going, keep praying. Why? Not because it's a mantra or a formula for us to live by, but it's the fact that we're coming to a loving Heavenly Father and he's got the answers. We're trusting him. He's got the answers. And we're going to keep trusting him that he's got the answers. Is there something that you are struggling to, you want to see God do or happen in your life and it hasn't happened? Well, keep praying. Keep going. Be a child. You know, don't think, oh, I'm adult now. You know, I've got to work it all out for myself. Just keep being a child. Just keep coming to him, because that's his heart to you this morning. This is what overcomes the world. People that don't stop praying because things don't happen. You know, I have the testimony that when I was a pastor, first of all, you know, it wasn't a sort of thriving church. There were some very faithful older people, mainly ladies and families. And we would pray once a month on a Tuesday. We'd just have a prayer day, and it'd be me and maybe three or four older ladies, and Chris, probably when she wasn't got childcare duties or whatever. And you know, we just prayed and we prayed, and you think, well, you know, it didn't seem to happen. But those older ladies, they've gone to glory now. But God's done it now. Come to River Church now. It's not just a few older people and some dysfunctional families. But there's life. God is doing, it's diverse. God has done great things. But I believe we prayed. And in those days, it didn't seem to be that much was happening. But God's done it. But you just got to keep believe. God will do it. If God's given you a call, God will fulfill it. That's what a child does. I'm part of the family. This is my place. And Daddy can give me the answers. And we've got to come and believe that. God can give us the answers. If only we'll keep going in faith like a child. It says, to back it up, you know what it says in Luke's gospel. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock. And you know, the sense of the word asking. I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is what the life of faith is about. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't give up. Tremendous truth, really. This is what overcomes the world. But, you know, what else does faith? Now, that's one aspect, if you like, of faith, that we keep asking for those things that we believe God has wants us to keep asking for. But what other things what we think about faith? You know, I look at, you know, if I was talking to those young people the other night, I'd be talking slightly differently about faith, I think. Because obviously, you know, you want them to grasp the great adventure of being able to, you know, give yourself to a work, give yourself to a situation and see God do things like we did once upon a time. But, you know, as you get older, what does faith look like for you and I as we get older? You know, we're not able to do the great to give ourselves in the same way. Certainly I'm not, and I'm sure a lot of you are not. You are not. But in the end, faith is just the outworking of stepping out in faith, stepping out, like Peter getting out of the boat. You know, God, he sees a situation and says, "Can I come to you, Lord?" And he gets out the boat. And of course, he flounders when he looks away from Jesus and looks at the waves. I'm sure we all know that story. But, well, I don't know, maybe you don't know that story. I shouldn't say that. But if you do know that story, you know, but there is little ways, there are ways in which we, even if as we get older, we can step out in faith. Yeah, it can be in prayer. That's certainly one. But the question is, if you ask God, are you prepared for the answer? If you say to God, "Shall I do that, Lord?" And he says, "Yes," are you prepared to do it? Because sometimes we like the idea, particularly in a nice meeting like this, of doing what God says, but when it comes to it, it's a bit more difficult. For example, how about making sure you've forgiven people? Maybe someone's been nasty to you. Maybe someone's let you down. You think, "Oh, that's it. I'm not going to speak to them again. I'm not going to do anything with them again." But, you know, it requires faith to come to God and say, "Lord, give me forgiveness in my heart. Let that not affect me." That's faith. To say that. To say, "I'm going to forgive when they don't deserve it." Are we prepared to move in faith like that? And I believe that's absolutely crucial to our relationship with God. We hold on to things. It will create a barrier between us and God. We've got to let go. Whatever anyone's done to you, let it go. That requires faith. Move in that faith. Because the world, of course, would say, "Oh, you know, you cut yourself off from them. Don't even do with them." God says, "No, you reconcile your heart with them." What about reaching out to someone like a neighbour? Maybe you think, "Oh, you know, we all live very independent lives." Maybe there's a neighbour that you could maybe there's someone in the church even that you can reach out to. Give them a call. Maybe you haven't seen them for a week or two. Be prepared to do that. You say it's simple, but it can make such a difference to people. And I realise that generally people don't like reaching out. Don't like that. They, you know, I make myself, I'm a bit of an introvert, I make myself go and talk to people. Make yourself go and talk, that's faith. Go and talk to someone you don't usually talk to. And it might make a real difference. Just little ways. You say, this is faith. This is what overcome the world says, "Oh, no, keep yourself to yourself. You know, you've got your problem. You've got your issues. You just, you know, if they only knew what was going on in my life." Well, maybe go and talk to them. Go and make that connection with someone. Maybe ask God to give you a prophetic word in the meeting. How about that? Very bold of Gordon. Praise God. They're prepared to do that. But maybe for you, that would be real, you know, you'd be trembling. What if I get it wrong? Well, so what? Faith says, so what if I get it wrong? What Peter's attitude was, maybe that's why he became the leader of the church. Because he was the one that was prepared to step out. make a fool of himself, as he did a number of times. And maybe that's what you got. Faith for you is going to be like that. Just step out. And maybe people think you're mad. Well, so what? I've done that a few times. And God's blessed in the end. God's blessed, even if it seemed to be a failure at the time. And just be generous with your money. How about that? That requires faith, doesn't it? To give someone a gift, maybe, when you're struggling. But these are the sort of thing, I'm just saying, these don't seem very great things, but they are faith. The faith that overcomes the world, and not just having a faith in your head, which all sounds very nice. I just thought I'd share, I think, three things about myself has happened to me in the last, and I'm going to turn, my phone's not on silent, I realise that, so I better do that, because usually mine's the one that goes off. Okay, just three things, I think, the last couple of years, which I've learned about faith, and I don't know whether this, you know, it's all very personal, but for you, if any of it helps you. First one was about 2 years ago, I was sick, and I was praying desperately for healing. And what I came to realize was that God had my body as much as my soul. And that's that. Sometimes you think, oh, you know, yeah, I've given my soul to the Lord. I've served him and all the rest of it. But your body, well, I'm not sure about that. But God, when you give yourself to Jesus, he's got your body as much as your soul. And when you're sick, he's got you. Now, it may be, you know, you need to get prayed for. Maybe you call for the elders of the church. Maybe someone's got a word for you that you'll be healed. All that's great. But it doesn't always happen. And when it doesn't happen, you have to trust the Lord. You have to live by faith. And not say, oh, well, when I'm better, then everything will be fine. No, God's taking you through this situation now. And you have to accept that and believe that and believe and trust him through it. He's working through it, through your sickness. And I had to realize that. And it was a good lesson in faith that God is there for you. And he's working in that situation, and believe it. Don't just believe what the world says. You know, you must get better. Unless you get better, you know, you're useless. It's not true. You can do things even when you're sick. You can pray, certainly, but you are whatever God's calling you to. So don't think just write off sickness and say, well, you know, it's nothing. It isn't. It's part of God's plan at this time. He's taking you through. The second thing I want to share is that I grew up believing I needed to achieve to be someone. You know, my parents were good parents and they instilled certain values in me. And one of those values was it was important to achieve in life. And I've realized that isn't necessarily faith. How can I put this? You know, when I became a Christian, those values I transferred into my Christian life. So there was a sense where I was always trying to achieve as a Christian. And I've realized now that the big thing to know is that you're loved by God. And it doesn't matter if you don't achieve anything. Or what you do achieve, you only achieve by his grace. And it's what he works. But if we're living to achieve, then you realize we're not living by faith. We've got to live to believe, Lord, you give me to do this today. I'm just going to get on with it today. And that's all I've got to worry about. I haven't got to worry really how the end product, because you realize that so much of what God does, you can't do anything about. You make a little bit of difference here and there, but really the real work is God's. And, you know, what I achieve, well, that's up to him. But we're not to live with this, I think it becomes a great weight upon us that we must achieve. You know, must, what am I being, is what I'm doing profitable? And you're saying, actually, is what I'm doing what God wants? That's all we should be asking ourselves. And leave the results to Him. Be faithful day in, day out. And the third thing I wanted to share was that for me, when I was dealing with people, you always wanted to feel you're a bit better than them. If you're not careful. How can I put this? And you can be very spiritual and say that I'm doing it for their benefit. And you realise that at the end of the day, we're not to compare ourselves to other people. It's not faith to compare ourselves to other people. We're to get on and just do what God's given us to do, and not to look and say, well, I'm not as good as Mark, or I'm not as good as Malcolm, or something like that. Because you realise we've all got different roles. And God's got a unique plan for each one of us. And that's the wonder of it. And we're not to look at someone else. We were saying yesterday about how Cain slew Abel because of jealousy. And you realise that you can act like that. So it becomes competition. Who's the better? Who's the better? I've got to be better than so-and-so at that. And you realise that's not faith. That's the world. The world says that. I've got to be better so that I've got my place in the world. And God's saying, just know you're loved. Just know you're loved. And I've given you a job, a unique job to do. Get on and do that. That's what God's saying. That's what faith says. But the world says, you know, I've got to be the best. You've just got to be who God's made you to be. And it's not better or worse than anyone else. And they're just little things. I just want to, because I think we can talk about faith, it can become very spiritual and very ethereal. And to me, this is practical. This is what is releasing. You know, we're talking about being free. This is what, to me, these sort of things are what really releases into what God's will is, rather than, and we can be hindered because we've got these ideas, and a lot of these ideas come from the world. And our faith is not to be like that. Our faith is to be based on the word of God, what God said to us, what God's doing, and not what we think is a good idea, because we've got that from the world. Now, one thing that will hold us back in all this is fear. And I suppose if I was doing a fifth talk, I might have talked about fear separately. Because John talks about fear. You know, I love that Jesus was, we mentioned this before, incarnational. He lived among us as a man. And he didn't fear men. He didn't fear their sin. He lived amongst their sin. And he was able to love them in their sin and not get affected by it, because he lived by faith. He lived believing that the Spirit of God could lead him and guide him. And I think that's where we're to live. He didn't live in a monastery, cut himself off from everyone in case he got affected. But he lived in this place of faith, walking day by day in what God has told him to do. And I think by doing that, he learned not just the depth of wickedness of mankind, but how they thought and what drives them to that. So he could sympathize with them as a great high priest. John says this in chapter 4 and verse 13 to 19. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, and he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We have received the Spirit of God, that we can abide in his love. He loves me. He loves you. That's wonderful. And really, that's the great message of 1 John, really, that he wanted to keep saying. And he says in verse 17 there, we can have boldness when we on that day of judgment. Because the biggest thing we fear, probably, is the fact that what's going to happen when we stand before God? Are you frightened this morning about what's going to happen when you stand before God? Because he doesn't want you to have fear for that day. What Jesus has done it all for you. Whether you're saved or not is not dependent on you. Dependent on him, what he's done. Are you trusting what he has done for you? Or is it that you're trying to think when you get, oh dear, I better be a better Christian or something? Well, that isn't what God wants. He wants you to receive his love. The love of God takes away the fear. And we've got to believe that. I stand here this morning just as someone that's loved. That's my only ticket into heaven. That I know I'm loved of God. And Jesus Christ has died for me. I was thinking, I've recently retaken up golf. I'm not very good, I might add. And my son and grandsons encourage me to do it. And we play a bit together. And they're a lot better than me. But they say, you ought to take up lessons, Dad. So I have had one or two lessons. But the thing is that, I think sometimes when we stand before God, he's going to say, you know what? Yeah, you could probably do one or two more lessons. But they play golf with me. They accept me. And I think God, and we'll be accepted. Say, yeah, come here, come in. Yeah, you might need one or two more lessons, but you're accepted, not because of who you, not because I'm not, no, I don't, they don't play golf with me because I'm any good. They play golf with me because they want to play golf with me. I think God wants to play with you. That's not a wrong word to say, but it's the attitude that we don't have fear. Even if maybe our life hasn't matched what we felt it could have done. And we're a little bit nervous about when we meet him. Don't worry. Because our basis is not us and our achievement. Our basis is what he has done for us. And this is what takes away the fear. And that we're free then to love. And we're free to do what he wants. It says this, doesn't it, what we read earlier. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. And he who fears has not been made perfect in the love. You know, the devil wants you to fear. He wants you to fear when you stand before God that you're not going to be accepted, so that'll freeze you. You know what fear does? No, you either freeze or you run away. That's what happens. It either shuts you up or you get out. And you know, that's what the devil wants you to do. Faith says, no, I will stand by the grace of God. I will stand in this situation. I won't be frightened. I won't fear it, and I won't run away from it. And you realize it's torment, fear, isn't it? I don't know whether you're fearing this morning something, but it's torment. It makes you unhappy. It makes you bound up. And God doesn't want that. He wants, you know, a kiddie that knows he's loved is free. He runs about. Sometimes, you know, you have to protect them from themselves because they'll run in the water or they'll you know, run over a cliff or something. I remember when I was five being rescued by my dad when I was climbing along some railings with a sheer drop underneath them. You know, because that's what you do as a kid. And you realise, I think we can get so bound up because we're frightened. We're frightened, perhaps we'll get it wrong. That's a great fear, isn't it? Oh, I get it wrong, you know, I'll be written off. It doesn't help you. Or else you're frightened at a people. You're frightened what people will think and what they'll say about you. These things lead to torment, Scripture says. And what we're saying here is this love of God will bring a faith that means we're free. And it's wonderful. Fear can be irrational. I always think of that character Obelix in the Asterix books, if you know them. Obelix is fearless warrior who's frightened of nothing or anybody except that the sky had fallen on his head. So he used to walk around with a shield above his head. But, you know, maybe at times you need to be prayed for if you're frightened. It's irrational. The devil's put something on you. He's oppressing you, putting something and trying to shut you up, trying to push you down. Well, then go and get prayed for. God wants to remove that irrational fear from you. So you're not living under bondage in that way. Of course, other times, fear is more rational. And we realise that there's something we're genuinely frightened of that might or might not happen. I think at times we have to talk to ourselves about these things. We have to say, that's not true. That's not true. And you know, as Jesus said, you shall know the truth. If you do what I say, if you know that, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And at times, we've got to move in the truth. We've got to believe the truth and not what the world's telling us. And that's what's causing us to be frightened, because we're listening to the world and we're not listening to Jesus. The truth will set you free. And some sort of think it's not prayer you need then, it's just to believe the truth. Just accept what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done, and then you can be free. Do you seek the truth of the situation that you're in? Do you seek the truth? Or do you, you know, because that people are frightened of the truth at times, of course. Because the truth might be, you know what, you need to change something in your life. It might not like that. But that's what's going to set you free. That's the faith you require to believe the truth. I love to come to the Lord and say, Lord, what's wrong, Lord? I don't know whether you're like this. I know I've done this many times in my life. There's something not right in my heart. I just sense something's not right. And I'm just not right. I'm bound up in some way. And I just have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it, Lord? What is wrong? And maybe there's something I've believed that's not true or something. And you put that right, and then it's like, oh, that's great. I'm free again. And this is the faith. Having that faith in what God is saying and not faith in what I think or what the world's telling me. So, are you living in faith this morning? Are you living by faith? Or are you living by what the world's telling you? If you live by what the world's telling you, you're probably going to end up being fearful. You're going to end up being bound up. You're not going to be able to do God's work. Maybe even it will cause you to be frightened of meeting with God. We're not to be frightened about meeting with God. We've got to praise him and love him, that he's the one that's made us right with himself. Not us, not our efforts, but what he has done upon the cross. And so let's come. Let's be a people of faith. You know, as we go forward from this conference and beyond, let's live by faith. Let's live by what God's saying. You know, ultimately, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In a sense, that could be summed up what I've been saying this morning. Believe the word of God. Come to him. Believe in God. Believe who he is, not what the world is telling you. And live by that. And let's go forward. Let's go forward. Let's bring. Don't say, well, I'm old. I can't do anything new. Yes, you can. You can do new things. An old dog can learn new tricks by faith. Well, it can. You can do new things. I've done a new thing last 2 months, started an online Bible school. Well, not started it, but acted as an administrator for it. And you think, well, I've never done this before. Should be slowing up. But we go forward in faith. What's God calling you to do? Don't be frightened. Go and do it. Trust him. Your trust is in him. If he's with you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? What a person, your family, can't be against you. You go forward in faith, and God will be with you, and God will bless you. Amen? Let me finish with this verse from just 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And that's where it all springs from. Not that we loved him, not that we're doing things for him, but that he loved us. And out of that love, we can trust him and move by faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are Lord for us this morning. That's my great heart. Lord, let us not be governed by what's in the world, by the fears and the the concerns of this world. Lord, but let us be concerned for your world, your will, what you're about, Lord. Help us to live by faith, Lord. Maybe we're not called to give up our money and all the rest of it, but Lord, you called us, Lord, just in those little ways, maybe, just to make a fresh thing or do something new that we've never done before. And you're calling us to it, Lord. Well, let's go on and do it. Let's see Jesus glorified. Lord, not the world, not just being bound by what's in the world, but being governed by Jesus and his great love to us. Lord, may we go forward in that. May you shine forth from our lives as we believe you. And we trust you and we go forward in faith in your word. Lord, help us. Lord, and thank you. Lord, we know, Lord, that you've only got good for us. Your heart is only good to us. And Lord, you're ever wanting to hear our prayers and see us into new things. So bless your name, Lord, and may your grace go with each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.